cool. You probably got a Christmas gift. How many of you got a Christmas gift? Let me see your hands. Okay, some of you are really bad this year. Wow, okay. How many of you gave a Christmas gift? Let me see your hands. All right, great. We have a son. His name is Christian. And, everybody's a little different, okay? Well, the thing about this kid of ours is that he really, really knows how to give a Christmas gift. So we do this white elephant thing because there's like too many people to buy for. So we're all sitting around my sister's living room, and there's all these boxes on the floor. And Sarah, one of our granddaughters, pointed to a box. She said, "Papa, pick that one." So so I went ahead and I picked that one. This isn't it. This is something else, but that's okay. So I went ahead and I picked that box. Wait till you see what it is. You're going to love this thing. It is the craziest little thing that I've ever seen, but it is the perfect, the absolute perfect Christmas gift, and it runs on batteries. You know, good Christmas gifts run on batteries, of course, right? And so this thing runs on batteries. Let me show it to you. It's right here. Isn't this the funniest thing you've ever seen? Do you know what it does? Check this out. Watch, watch. Oh, here. Does that crack you up? Because you know what it is? It's some guy's voice. And this guy thinks he makes a good cow sound. Okay, so he goes, "Moo, moo." And then he's like, he realizes that he's really having fun. So he starts laughing. But listen. Did you hear that? Right in the middle, after he's done laughing at himself, he goes, "Moo, moo, ah," and he starts laughing some more. And the thing that I love about this goofy little gift, we'll put him over here on the drum, is that guy who did that was in his sweet spot. He was like, "I got this cow thing down. I can make a noise like a cow. You want to see me? Moo, moo," okay? So he's like all over the place in his sweet spot. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about that. And this week, you know, what we want to look at is the beginnings and endings. And there are people who start out really well, and they end really well. And there are people who start out really well, and they end up horribly. There are people who start out terribly, and they end up terribly. They start out terribly, and they end up great. How does that happen? Because somewhere along the line, like a cow says moo, he's got it. Okay? Like the guy who imitates the cow and thinks he's really cool and makes himself happy, he's really got it. He's in his sweet spot. The cow is a wonderful cow because that's how God made it. And you are a wonderful you. And same for you. You're smiling because I'm pointing to him and I point at you. And the same for every single one of us in this room. There's a special way that God has made you and I to function this year. All right? And when we get into that sweet spot of how God made us and we function that way, I guarantee you, your end will be blessed. But what I want to do before we get all excited about the new year, how did you end last year? And if I keep talking, you can't think very clearly because my words are going to be filling your ears and your brain's going to try to figure all that out. But for a second here, how did you end last year? Just this 12-month period, how does that frame up for you? Is God smiling about your last year? You know. Is he looking and saying, there might have been a couple things last year that if they continue on in this year, it's going to be great. But there may be some other things if they continue on in this year, maybe it's not going to be so great. So what God would love for you and I to do is find our sweet spot. What is it? What is it? Sweet spot living. SSL. Doesn't that sound like SSL? You know, do you ever see the Chevy SS? The Chevy Super Sport? You know, it's like SS. Yeah. It's that kind of a car. And then, you know, it's really manly. They always throw an X in it. You know what I mean? Like anything. Or a Z. Those are the letters that are like really cool, okay? But I was thinking, you know, too bad I didn't have time. I could make a little label, you know, a sticker of some sort. And you could just stick it someplace, maybe on a book. And every time you see SSL, you think, sweet spot living. That's my Jesus. He came to give me abundant life, abundant joy, you know, to live the way he's made me, you know, to live. If I were to go over to that piano right now and play a song and end on a terrible note, all you would remember is that Chalufo really messed up and he ended on a sour note. But if I mess up in the middle, play a little bad note here and there, and I end well, it's still all okay. You'd forgive me for that note in the middle. So let's take a look at some lives, okay? How we end in life matters for eternity. And how we get used to ending a year, ending a homework assignment, ending the projects you had maybe to do for school over this break, the ones that you're going to do Monday because you go back to school on Tuesday, is like really important, okay? There's a certain sense, you know, that God has when he ended every day of creation even, and he said, it is good. And so there's this whole idea of ending everything really, really well. Ending everything, even today, just really well. So that you have a sense of having crafted your day with a conscious purposefulness and intention to present it as something beautiful before the Lord, you know? Like in high school, I teach high school digital media graphics. We made Christmas cards for our mommy and daddy, you know? I mean, they're still mommy and daddy. I don't care how old you are. And they still want to know that you love them very much. Now you can go buy a card, but you didn't write those words, you know? So we made these cards. And then we put words in it. And some kids even sprayed it with glue and sprinkled glitter on it and made it like really sweet. And then took a lot of time to put the right words on it. And I said, when you give it to your mom, if you videotape it and she cries, I'm going to give you extra credit. You know, because you've touched her heart. It's how you polish it. And that's the attitude we need to have in our lives, that we take our time. We deliberately, we're conscious about how we're investing, you know, every day. So how we end matters for eternity. Let's take a look at some who ended well, just very quickly. King David. King David ended well. You know, now what do you remember about King David? Who did he slay? Goliath. Yay! He slew Goliath. What else do you remember about him? He ran away from Saul exactly when he had the anointing and Saul was insanely jealous of him, you know, and he had to, like, flee for his life. Nobody remembers anything else, right? Oh, yeah, he had a girlfriend, right? Okay, let's not talk about that. So, but after that event with Bathsheba, David was very ill for a very long time, and he got his whole heart, his whole mind turned around. It was beautiful. That's why if you remember something from last year that wasn't exactly quite right, it can be put right. And did you know that David, this is so exciting, David wrote most of his Psalms after he had repented for his sin of Bathsheba. So that because God's love is so upon us that not even this horrible sin of adultery and murder could keep, you know, David back from the purpose that God had for his life to become a wonderful message, so that even the worst things that happen and the most terrible sins that we could ever get into, if we have a tender heart for God, like David did. He turns it into a life message and put it in the Bible so that you and I could read it. And it's there forever. It's the eternal word of God. It's exciting. The disciples ended well. They didn't all start out well. Some of them were in competition with each other. The sons of thunder had a mom who was trying to push them into, you know, ministry, get them all well connected with Jesus, who was going to, you know, in their minds, overthrow the Roman government, you know, and get everything all set up. You know, it's kind of like my grandfather wanted me to go into politics, so, you know, in the local city so that I could rig his taxes and his property and wouldn't have to pay as much. So anyhow, but it was that kind of thing, you know, where these disciples had some issues, but in the end, these men lived fervent, on fire lives. And they were all, you know, martyred for Christ's sake. So it's awesome. Let's take a look at some who did not end so well, okay? For example, I mean, I don't know, I'm not passing judgment, but when I read Scripture, I find out that Noah was a great, righteous man who was different than everybody else in his generation. See, God looks down and he sees us in this generation, and he knows what collectively we face in this generation. Noah was a righteous man in his generation, okay? And he builds this huge boat. But then after the boat landed on Ararat, he got off and did some planting, planted a vineyard, made some grape juice, didn't keep it in the refrigerator, and it fermented. He did not drink what we drank this morning, okay? A communion. It fermented, and Noah's like, whoa, we got some really rocking grape juice here. Check out the grape juice. This side of the flood, you know, I'm like one happy camper. And he just, like, you know, hit the juice, man, and he was drunk. Totally drunk. Do you know who was alive at the same time that Noah was alive? Abraham. Abraham and Noah were on the earth at the same time. God looks down to show himself strong in behalf of anybody whose heart is perfect toward him. So there was Noah. Man, what a great record. Built that ark. Not a single leak. Fastidious about every board fit together. Put up with mockery of everybody else. But then, you know, all that success, he just kind of like leveled out, maybe went down a notch. Because alcohol really messes up your thinking. Not good stuff. So God looks and he sees Abraham. So then he calls Abraham, okay? King Saul. The people wanted a king. So God looks out and he finds a king. This guy's head and shoulders above everybody else. He's got a lot of hair, okay? He's pretty good looking. He makes a big deal out of getting his hair cut, you know, once a year. Everybody notices. You know, he looks, he's placed, he's the right guy. He looks great on the magazine, the newscasters, you know, filming him from every angle. The guy's great, great looking. The problem is that, you know, he was a jealous man. He was very insecure. He could not defeat the Jebusites. He could not take out the army of the Philistines. This little kid David has to come along with a couple of stones to do the work that the king couldn't even do. He gets jealous. He hates David. He starts hunting David. He doesn't like the songs that the ladies are singing about David. You know, David has slain his thousands, you know, Saul the thousands, David's 10,000s, you know, and he's jealous, so he hunts him down. In the end, he's filled with hate and envy. He tries to kill David, throws a javelin at him, has an evil spirit from the Lord. He ends up even going to a witch, to witchcraft, you know. Terrible, terrible kind of an ending. Not a good one. And then there's King Asa. King Asa's an interesting case because this guy started out really well, all right? He starts out in ministry in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 2, and it says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord." In the eyes of the Lord. God is watching us. "For he took away," listen to all the cool stuff he did, "he took away the altars of strange gods." How would that play out today? "He took away the high places, broke down the images. He cut down the groves." These were places of worship. "He commanded Judah to seek the Lord." All right? That's pretty cool. And then it says God gave rest. Now, this guy was so good